One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
With all the Raising Cane's chicken finger options, it was an impossible decision.
How about a box combo? Good.
No, I want a Caniac combo with extra cane sauce, no slaw, two extra toasts, and a half sweet tea F lemonade.
Celebrate the holidays with Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break. Presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Friday. Steve Sipple is en route to State College, not with us. Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush with you in studio. Hour 3 is sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production labor. Check them out online at concreteindustries.com and at NEBCOinc.com. We have a special guest to kick off the 8 o'clock hour, Bill. That is Zach Sacco from Locked On Penn State. Locked On Nittany Lions. Zach, good morning. We have a lot of questions for you because, now off the bat, good morning. You guys were a number two preseason and then started off conference play at 0-6. Just defeated Michigan State, of course, to get your first win. I'm curious, is there any positive mood right now at all in the Penn State fan base, Zach?
Depends who you ask. because Terry Smith got his first conference win. That was a big deal. It's now put him in a situation where more fans are accepting of the idea. And I'm not totally against it, but there's definitely, okay, you got to miss on a few other candidates still to get back to Terry Smith. But he has shown progress. They're taking steps forward. This was kind of I know a win against Michigan State doesn't really carry much value, but they almost pulled off the upset against Indiana when this team was left for dead. Okay, that's after sure. You get beat down by Ohio State. It's just demoralizing loss after demoralizing. Seriously, the margin of aside from the Ohio State game, those losses between UCLA, Oregon, everybody, the combined margin of defeat was 13. Like they were so close. And I saw the analytics or whatever. Penn State would, if you flipped all the one score games to the other team, Penn State would be top three in the country. So that's it is truly a game of inches, gentlemen.
Absolutely. What is the vibe of the team? Do they want a bowl game? They're 4-6. They've got to beat Nebraska. They've got to win next week then against Rutgers. Do they want to go to a bowl game?
I don't know about a bowl game. I think they just want to fight. They just want to scrap, whether that's for Terry Smith, whether that's for the senior group. The fans have rallied behind this team. It really was a schism between James Franklin and the fans, not so much the Penn State team, the Penn State program, because Indiana, I won't call it a sellout, but I was surprised by the attendance. Like, okay, it's number two Indiana. Like, this should get some fans, but that's honestly one of the louder crowd. It wasn't that far off from the whiteout. Okay. And that's pretty impressive for a noon kickoff. And again, the lows of this season. So this team, they want to fight. They want to play hard. A bowl game, it wouldn't shock me with a new head coach if they opt out of that. And again, a bunch of seniors going off to the NFL. How many of them are going to play in that? Right. Drew Aller was already lost for the season. So kind of protecting other interests while maximizing what you still have. Right.
Yeah. I'm curious, Zach. Now I go back to the start of the season. So this is a team, again, ranked number two. Now, we watched the early season games in the non-con and didn't think that they looked very good against Villanova and FIU and Nevada. Kind of surprised for a team that was in the semifinals last year. Weren't exactly dominant or interesting. Could you see this unfolding poorly early on this season at all?
And I'll be honest, I had to cope with it, just basically trying to put two and two together. Why is this team that's in a semifinal just not too long ago? Right. Andy Kotelnicki comes back. You upgrade, right? You supposedly upgrade from Tom Allen to Jim Knowles. And it just looks, particularly on offense, that defense, again, defense held Oregon fairly in check. And then that went to double overtime. So the defense just eventually broke but you had the systemic issues. You had a lack of depth at key positions on defense. Wide receiver, just the passing game never evolved. The offensive line took a step back. And part of that had to do with run game coordinator, running backs coach J1 Sider ends up being a much, hindsight's 2020. He leaves for Notre Dame, extremely valuable addition to the staff and a detrimental subtraction for this season. So it's those things that kind of add up progressively, because all offseason the chatter was, well, they got Stan Drayton. You know, he coached Ezekiel Elliott once upon a time at Ohio State, but you can't replicate 7 years of J1 Sider, the 3 years that he worked with this running back room, specifically with Singleton, Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. But the issues were there, trying to do the mental gymnastics to say, well, they just don't want these games. It's all about Oregon. Both of those positions were correct. This team had systemic issues that I had to do mental gymnastics around, but they did stake this entire season literally on Oregon, because James Franklin, the team fell apart when they got to UCLA, and then that was it, because they still could have made a run. One loss didn't decide the season technically, but in the minds of Franklin, which is a reflection of the team, it did, based on the way they played those next couple of games.
What do you paint a picture for us for Saturday night? Obviously, I watched every snap that Indiana game. I watched every snap of Michigan State. There is a lot of fight in this team. Like you said, they want to fight. I don't see a team that has quit. I don't see that has quit. The only game where I saw that I thought they had maybe was Northwestern when they came back and lost that one at home. It didn't seem like there was much fight in them at that time. That's the only one. Paint a picture of what you think the team will be like and what it actually be like in that stadium Saturday night for a night game.
I think you'll get a fair crowd, because it is late November games are not typical, but and it's also Thanksgiving break. So I wonder, what is the student section going to look like? Is, you know, colder weather a night game going to scare early birds away? Right. So the crowd won't be at top max capacity. I still think it will be a solid crowd, but I do keep that in mind. How many students are going home for the break? And how many people are just going to say, you know what, I late November games are just not for me. This is pretty atypical. I was kind of surprised that they went with this, but Matt Rhule returning to Penn State. So this is senior night for this team. It is a way to send off this team. The Penn State fans still appreciate them despite all the adversity. So the crowd will be rocking within reason. It will be good enough, but it's not going to be whiteout 2.0 or anything like that. Or it'll be a step below both the whiteout and Indiana too.
Joined by Zach Zacho, not locked on Nittany Lions. Now, you mentioned Matt Rhule, of course, went to Penn State. Of course, he's Nebraska's coach, signs an extension for 2 years. Right now, it is November 21st. What are you hearing in the Penn State coaching search? What are the names that are the hot names? And how soon do you expect a decision to be made on the next head coach at Penn State?
Depends. It depends where Penn State's trying to strike. There is steam right now. Here's how I would frame it based on everything I've heard, because I feel like it was a big smokescreen, whether that was agent driven or whether that was Penn State driven. Eli Drinkwitz is your guy, and I was having reliable sources message me, because they're not going to message me out of the blue if it isn't legitimate. And they say, hey, I had a source tell me that it's Eli Drinkwitz to Penn State. And I'm like, really? This guy's from Norman, Oklahoma. Really? They're interested in this guy originally. And then he's had roots all through the SEC. Nothing connects him to the Northeast. Nothing connects him to the Mid-Atlantic. And it's like, okay. I mean, he helped rebound Missouri, but I don't know. Like, the athletic director sat there and declared that this is a job where we expect to win national titles at some point. So you don't fire James Franklin in the middle of the season to hire Eli Drinkwitz. Okay. At the present. So Mike Elko was the big swing. It's on the record that there was a conversation. How that conversation went with Urban Meyer, we don't know. There's interest with Brian Hartline. Brian Daboll had inquired about the job. Okay. Those are some fringe candidates. I would say, as we sit here on a day by day basis, the way that things are trending is Penn State is willing to wait out an Alabama disaster. And this is like a 5 or 10% chance, because Auburn's not that good, but tensions could boil over in Tuscaloosa, because Kalen DeBoer is not one of them. If DeBoer were to lose the Iron Bowl like that to a pathetic Auburn team that is going through its own coaching search, they might just say, whoa, you know what? We don't want you anymore. There is rumored interest that DeBoer is looking for an off ramp, so to speak. And Penn State's like, yeah, come here. You're a great coach. You led Washington to a national title. And then Bob Chesney is kind of that, the backup plan, so to speak. He's interviewed, he's done well with those interviews, but Group of Five, you know, still hasn't proven it at a higher level. But I think Penn State's willing to take a chance on him if they don't wait out a disaster with Alabama and Kalen DeBoer.
That's incredible. I haven't heard that name yet
in the conversation.
I've not heard that. That's why we're talking to an expert.
Right, Zach Sako here.
Talk to us about just the nuts and bolts of the defense. As we reviewed the numbers, we went through every game. It's like, okay, they do get the ball run on them, with they being Penn State. If you looked at UCLA rush for 240, I believe, there's been a lot of it, which it was shocking as we did our deep dive into the stats. Tell us about the run defense, because there's times on defense when I'm watching, they look really good, and their back end can tackle, and so they've got players, but their rush defense has been very spotty at best. What do you think that reason is?
A few reasons. So Jim Knowles' system does not maximize his true system, the actual blueprint that he wants to run, where it's basically seven guys roam in the back end of the defense, being the linebackers and in conjunction with the defensive backs, and that your four defensive linemen are good enough to create havoc. Your four defensive linemen, so you don't have to run blitz. You can basically just kind of leave those guys. They're basically in a zone, you know, to really simplify it. I know there's more complexities than that, but that's the idea, is that, oh, your front four can get home every single time. Well, you don't have that big 320, 30, 40-pound monster defensive tackle that just eats up two, maybe even three blockers on a play. So you had that at Ohio State. They figured that out real quickly, but they still didn't adjust because, again, you saw it against UCLA, but then it came back to haunt them against Northwestern. It came back to haunt them against Iowa. For some reason, Jim Knowles didn't understand the concept of a quarterback spy. Penn State has the kryptonite for this Penn State defense has been anybody that knows how to use their legs. As long as they are not a statue, they will be able. So this matchup against TJ Lateef is intriguing to me. I expect Nebraska to move the football, because even when Penn State dedicates resources to trying to stop a mobile quarterback or a guy that can just move outside the pocket, they struggle. And it's been every single time. But now Terry Smith has dialed it back and said, okay, Knowles, you got to adjust your system, because these guys just don't fit in every single spot. So they're attacking more. I see elements of Manny Diaz in there a little, and that's not, oh, Manny Diaz has an influence on this defense. No, but Terry Smith worked with Manny Diaz. He knows how these players operate. And you see linebackers creeping close to the line of scrimmage. Jim Knowles is dialing up strategic blitzes. They are trying to use quarterback spies or account for the quarterback in a better way. But it's just simply put, they lost a key linebacker in Tony Rojas. Defensive ends just kind of don't stay home. They don't play contain. And Jim Knowles came in with the idea, hey, we can get the job done with four down defense.
Hey, guys, it's Jake Sorensen. Listen, I know it's hard to eat healthy and commit to that, especially during the holiday season, and it's hard to do it because you're giving up on flavor and fun. Well, good news. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American-grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar, just fruit as nature intended. For you calorie counters, only 80 calories per cup. They're a great source of fiber. And these raspberries really bring bright flavor and vibrant color to make every dish feel special. You can keep a bag in the freezers. You can add a pop of flavor and feel-good nutrition anytime. By the way, this is available at Costco, Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. You want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. That's redraz.org, redraz.org. And remember, look for Product of the U.S. on the bag. Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. This holiday season, what does comfort look like for you? Is it giving family and friends a restful night's sleep so they can wake up refreshed for the holiday traditions? Is it sharing cozy mornings with the people you love? Or is it slowing down and finding calm amid the chaos? This year, you can create your natural holiday oasis with Avocado Green Mattresses, which helps transform your home into a peaceful, grounding retreat made with certified organic and sustainably sourced materials. From breathable bedding to handcrafted mattresses, Avocado is all about true comfort. You can rest, recharge, and wake up refreshed all season long. Are you hosting some loved ones? Avocado helps you create a warm, inviting home where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here, and Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. Don't wait. The most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast, and now is the perfect time to cross names off your list. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high-quality, unique, and often made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, making every gift feel meaningful and truly one of a kind. I recently got a whiskey board with a Miami Dolphins emblem that comes in a few weeks, and I cannot wait to see the product when it gets to me. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Of linemen and let everybody else, you know, stay true to their assignments, and they can't. It has to be a collective. You know, guys have to pick up the slack for other inconsistencies.
Joined by Zach Seiko, Locked On Nittany Lions. Offensively, we know about Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, obviously very good running backs, and we know Drew Aller's out with injury. Grunkemeyer, though, the backup quarterback who started the last couple of games, what's the scouting report on him? How similar is he to Drew Aller? How different is he from Drew Aller?
Well, he comes from the same quarterback pipeline. Brad Mandler, I'm not sure how familiar the two you are with him, but he has a QB Academy that had cranked out Drew Aller. There are some other he dishes out a number of quarterback prospects, whether they go D1, D2, D3. Like, he has a really serious setup. And Drew Aller was, you know, the five-star and everything. And Ethan Grunkemeyer was that next, like the heir apparent, the guy in waiting. So after Drew has a good season, you know, everything was supposed to go according to plan, doesn't get hurt, he'll go off to the NFL, and Ethan Grunkemeyer's the guy in waiting. Well, baptism by fire, you know, Drew's out for the season, Grunk comes in, and it's pretty reasonable to struggle in your first start. He's a second-year QB, redshirt freshman. He struggles against a top-five Iowa defense at Iowa, at Kinnick Stadium for his first start on the fly like that, with 6 days to prepare. You're the starter, get ready. Then you go and face a number one Ohio State defense on the road in Columbus. Okay. And a bit of a homecoming because he's from Ohio. And then you actually make strides where you throw for over 200 for the first time. You're 22 of 31 against an Indiana defense that is still conservatively top 15. It's like, whoa, you know, there's something here. I like Grunkemeyer a ton. We'll see what the coaching situation presents, because if a coach doesn't have his QB, I am totally for Ethan Grunkemeyer staying in at Penn State and giving you three more years of eligibility, because I have seen substantial progress from him against quality opponents. He has proven to me that he is a capable power four quarterback, and I think he can get better. There's traits that he has that even Drew Aller doesn't have. I think he's a little more comfortable in the pocket at times. So Grunk's just impressed me in four starts, and I know he'll get better.
Tell us this. When you're sitting around just talking to your buddies, friends, you get the vibe of you're on the message board, you have the whole thing. It's the second overtime. You're down six against Oregon. You have the ball. They've botched the play. So all you got to do is go down, score, we win, and one of the most epic comebacks. There's going to be a field storming, and it's just going to be complete mayhem there. And 2 weeks later, your head coach is fired.
Yeah.
Is that one of the most remarkable Penn State stories ever?
Yeah, and yes, simply put, I think it's in all of college football. I don't think it's only Penn State in all of college football, because you do go now. I with respect to all of the chatter, because people now want to frame it as Penn State. Oh, they were in the semifinal a year ago. Yeah, but every national talk show host and social media comment that I read that was outside of the Penn State bubble said, you had a Mickey Mouse schedule. You played SMU. You played Boise State. You shouldn't be there. You're lucky because you lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship. But now it's, oh, you were in the college football playoff semifinal when back when it was, you don't even deserve to be there. Your team's fraudulent. So which is it? I'll digress from there, but yeah, it's the pressure of expectations. I really do think this team had systemic issues. There were some unlucky breaks. You lose your quarterback, you lose a star defender on defense, but it was a lot of duct tape to kind of fix some things that were always going to be there. Could they have been lucky and they win that game against Oregon? Because I think eventually, you know, an upset against Iowa maybe happens at that point in time, or they lose pretty decisively against Ohio State. They lose against Indiana. So you kind of get the same net result. You miss the college football playoff. You severely disappoint expectations. I'm kind of glad it happened this way, because it's been more of the same. I'm not a proponent like, oh, let's lose, let's tank, but change clearly needed to happen. Like James Franklin got the defensive coordinator that he wanted, got the offensive coordinator that he wanted, got the NIL backing to go get these pro caliber prospects and bring them all back. The QB, both running backs, your entire O-line, key defenders on the other side of the football. You go and make Jim Knowles the most expensive defensive coordinator in all of college football, outbidding Ohio State, and you fall flat on your face. And not only do you lose the big one, you lose the small one too.
Keep it right there. So James Franklin, of course, named the head coach of VaTech 2 days ago. Now, again, his era, he did win a conference title in 2016. They made a semis last week, as you mentioned. How do you recap and assess his era as a whole from a Penn State perspective?
I mean, I like James Franklin a ton. Because for the longest time there were, you know, hey, he's not, you know, he doesn't have enough financial support. The facilities are pretty lacking. Going through that program rebuild, I mean, in year three, he had them at the Big Ten championship. He won a Big Ten championship and got them to a Rose Bowl where they, you know, started the epidemic of losing big games. People don't realize they were leading in that one and they ended up blowing it to USC in a close one there. So that's where that started, ironically enough. But they beat a top 10 Wisconsin team, and Penn State nobody gave Penn State a chance that season. It was a lot of fire Franklin chance at that time, but collectively, comprehensively, I did a phenomenal job. He elevated Penn State's floor. And I think that's what James Franklin is best at, is being a program builder. He will raise your floor. He will get you to 9-3, 10-2 on a consistent basis. And Penn State said, okay, but what about a national title? You say we're close. You say we're close to breaking through. And it was every single time, whether Penn State was favored, whether they were not right, whether the deck was stacked in their favor or stacked against them, they could never win that game that put them across the finish line. You lost to Ohio State every single time after that 2016 game, which took a miracle field goal block and a touchdown to win. Penn State even wasn't, it's not like they were sitting on a lead. That took a miracle. But against a top Ohio State team, when Michigan was peaking, Oregon jumps into the Big Ten and uses Penn State as a stepping stone to get to Ohio State, to get closer to them. And then whether it's Iowa in a top five game, or, hey, okay, you lost to Ohio State, but you can still get in the college football playoff if you just beat Michigan State. They're a feisty Michigan State team. You lose that one too. It was, oh, they were 0-17 in every big game since 2017. Wow. At what point that's, is that unacceptable?
That's significant.
That is significant. So Kurt Cignetti leaves JMU. He goes to Indiana and he brings a bunch of players and it helps jumpstart thing. What is the conversation about players, if there even is a conversation, of players leaving Penn State to go to VaTech?
Right now, it's to be determined. I think on the recruit, because if you ask everybody differently, the sky is falling, and then people are saying, whatever, we don't want these prospects. I take the middle road in that, because you will see Virginia Tech get prospects that they haven't been routinely getting, and it's going to sound great. It's going to sound awesome if you listen to their perspective, because, yeah, they're getting four stars that they haven't been getting. It's an upgrade from, I mean, gosh, Virginia Tech was at the bottom of the ACC in the recruiting rankings, and now they're probably going to stabilize and be somewhere in the middle, and that's a big jump for them. You're seeing progress. And Penn State might not have a class of 2026. They might have three prospects just for people that are saying, you know what, I'll commit to Penn State because it's still a great institution. It's in the Big Ten, and I know they're going to hire at least a half-decent coach, right?
Yep.
So right. It's going to look so bad. And then there's the transfer portal. Like, Franklin has the upper hand because there's so much uncertainty with Penn State's coaching search that he's contacting agents, he's contacting families, and just getting a heat check, a vibe check of, you know, why don't you still come back? And there's a number of players from Virginia that are on the team. So it's not going to be a total overhaul. Like, he's going to purge the roster. But I think there will be some surprise names that do leave. And you'll see a handful or so of commits, because you've seen these guys are going to SC. I'd be worried more for Penn State losing some commits to other Big Ten and SEC programs, which we've already seen.
Last thing, in terms of going back to Matt Rhule for a second, of course, he was the hot name there when Franklin was let go. Of course, friends with Pat Kraft, he's from Penn State. In the fan base, when you talk to people, what do they think of Matt Rhule? Is there a portion that wanted him to be the head coach when Franklin was fired? Where does that stand right now, a month after all of the rumors there?
The loudest vocal components of the search were against Matt Rhule. They think that he didn't give them upside. And I tend to agree with that, right? I can see, because here's, I come from the frame of mind that, okay, Penn State's still going to be able to elevate somebody. Matt Rhule was a hot commodity not too long ago when he won at Temple.
Yep.
He won at Baylor. Okay, disaster class in the NFL. I mean, who's going to succeed with the Carolina Panthers at this point, right? That was a bad setup. I feel bad for him, but you learn your lessons. You settle in at Nebraska, and that's still, you know, you're in the middle of a rebuild, and you're competing against a lot of factors. Matt Rhule, I don't think, would have been a bad hire for Penn State. But again, if you fire James Franklin in the middle of the season, what significant upside does he offer you? Because his big game record is now something that would be, that is, has been picked on and would be picked on, especially if Penn State were to make that move. But it wouldn't have shocked me in the slightest, because the powers that be do want to pay some sort of homage. Some of them, not, I don't want to speak for everybody that has control at Penn State, but there is a portion that, we got to go get a Paterno guy. Matt Rhule played for Paterno. Al Golden's name has been lightly floated. I mean, it's been bad with the Bengals since he's the defensive coordinator there. But we also forget that he coached at Miami of Florida, and he was the defensive coordinator that helped take Notre Dame to that championship game a season ago. There's a bit of a power struggle, because there are people that want to return to the Paterno era legacy, and then other people that say, we need to go in another completely different direction. No ties to James Franklin, no ties to Joe Paterno, somebody else who can elevate us and take us just in a different direction.
One last question. It's been well noted that Sue Paterno's chocolate chip cookies are famous. Have you ever had one?
I haven't.
Oh.
I hate admitting that. So now I have to try.
Is the rumor true, though? Is that it's been discussed at many different times that I've heard over my career, and I've heard that she's world famous for her chocolate chip cookies. And so I just want to know, is that a true statement, though, that these are famous?
I heard that a little more because I'd go to Penn State tailgates as a sure. kid and stuff. Not recently in my adult years, because I guess I'm not around the right people, but yes, a while back.
Thank you.
Zach, awesome stuff. Thank you for
that
your time.
That was great, Zach.
And we
Thank
will
you.
Chat with you again down the road.
Oh, this was awesome.
Oh, last thing. Hang on. Last thing. Oh. Who's winning?
Yeah, well, yeah. What's your pick for the game?
Who's winning the game Saturday night?
I was hoping you guys would ask. Yeah. So I think this game's because of Penn State's question marks, you know, containing a mobile quarterback. Nebraska still has a pretty decent run game with Emmett Johnson. I think this game will be a little more scoring unless there's like inclement weather that I don't know about. But give me Penn State 27-24. I think that spread is a little too much for Nebraska. That's a lot of they're catching a lot of points there for a Penn State team that's not that good. Remember where they are. They're fighting for a bowl invitation here.
27-24. Penn State's the guest from Zach Seiko. Zach,
you were awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank
we'll chat down the road. Thanks, Zach.
Appreciate you, gentlemen. That's thanks so much.
Zach Seiko of Locked On Nittany Lions. Wonderful stuff there on a breakdown.
Boy, that
of
was
State.
Some great inside information good. There. That was really good.
He thinks they're looking for Kalen DeBoer to be the guy.
That was fun to listen to.
We're waiting for a Bama meltdown to get DeBoer. That's a lot to count on there.
The important thing to remember here is the work that Rudy does to get these guests on that have all the – we can sit there and talk about Penn State. How about if we talk about somebody from Penn State? How about we talk about somebody from USC? Let's talk to somebody who covers them every single day. And it's been great information. So that was awesome.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Rudy, for getting that. Zach Seiko
on
from
his birthday.
Lockdown Lions. When we come back, FSPs is next on Early Break on the Ticket.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.